You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everybody, it's Monday, November 7th, 2022. Welcome to the NFL Fantasy Football Show. It's me, your man MG Marcus Grant, joined by Michael F. Florio and the specialists, the cast of dozens that help us put this show on. We appreciate all of your hard work each and every day. And we are officially through the first 9 weeks of the season. And I figured you'd be feeling good mostly, except the Bills kind of face planted. How are we feeling about that?
I give the credit to the Jets. Like, they played very well on both sides of the ball. It was the Bills' worst game of the year on both sides of the ball. I don't love the Jet fans talking so much and getting very ahead of themselves. I gave them credit, and my friends were like, oh, we crushed. And I'm like, oh, it's a regular season game that meant a lot more to one side than the other.
Any worries, though, that the Bills' 2 losses have come in division?
No, because the first one was a weird weather game in Miami where it was super hot. And yesterday, I give credit, the Jets' defense played very well. The Bills did hold out a bunch of regulars because of that turf there. But I more so think this is just like, I'm more worried if, do the Bills get bored in the middle of the year? Because this happened last year as well. Like, they lost to the Jaguars last season, and we all kind of forgot about that.
That is very true, and I do think Buffalo is playing. They're playing for January and February right now. So I know they want to win all of them, but I don't think they're really stressing out about a loss in early November. We got plenty to talk about on the show today. As always, we'll have our 5 biggest takeaways for the week. We'll give you some waiver wire targets, and we have a special guest coming on a little bit later. You know him, you love him, you probably rostered him. It is Chargers running back Austin Eckler, who will sit down with us for a few minutes. Give him a round of applause for that. Very excited to have him on the show today. But let's start with some fantasy headlines. And this one, about a dude who went kaboom on Sunday. Joe Mixon going off against the Panthers. He accounts for 5 total touchdowns, 4 of them on the ground, 1 a receiving score, 55 fantasy points. Now, coming into the game, Joe Mixon had, what, 3 touchdowns all season long?
Yeah.
He puts up 5 on Sunday. Do you sell high, or do you hope this is the start of something good for Joe Mixon?
I think both answers are correct. Like, I would be fine selling high on Joe Mixon. He had more touchdowns in the first half than he did in the first 8 games. Like, it's wild. He's now the RB2 on this season. he was someone that we were worried about coming into this past week, and now he's the RB2. But if you could trade him for, say, a McCaffrey or a Henry or one of those high-end elite running backs, sure, I'm okay doing that. But he had already been getting so much volume every week, especially near the goal line. And on this show, Marcus, we have said, like, eventually they're going to turn into touchdowns. I didn't think it would all happen in one game, but I think this is a sign of things to come. Like, Joe Mixon isn't going to put up 55 fantasy points every week, but there will be big games and there'll be some down games because of this Bengals offensive line.
I will say that, you know, having more than a dozen fantasy leagues, I was fortunate that I think I only ran into him in one league yesterday.
Ooh, I ran into him in multiple. Like, I had one. my league of record, I faced him and Austin Eckler. I was just like, at halftime of that game, I texted my friend. I was like, you have 8 touchdowns already, but by 2 players, pretty much.
Yeah,
I'm done.
Where I ran into him and Justin Fields together. So, you know, I got to kind of relax on that one a little bit early. I'm like, all right, well, this is a wash, so we'll just move on to something else.
I also did the rare thing.
Mm-hmm.
I had Joe Mixon in a lineup this week and lost.
Oh, yeah, that is rare.
I played the only team that scored more points than me.
That kind of hurts a little bit when that happens. But very curious to say, I will say this. We should bookmark this game, too, for Joe Mixon at the end of the year. Wherever he finishes and when we go back and look at what the 2022 season was for Joe Mixon, let's sort of remember this game very much an outlier into what maybe his season was as a whole. It's one of those things where instead of looking at the total, maybe we look at the week-to-week for Joe Mixon. In Carolina, the Panthers had been feisty the last couple of weeks with Steve Wilks as head coach, PJ Walker at quarterback. We were sort of liking what they were putting together. It all came crashing down against the Cincinnati Bengals to the point that Baker Mayfield replaced PJ Walker in the loss. Mayfield finishes with 155 passing yards and a pair of touchdowns. I'm not advocating that we're starting Baker Mayfield, just like I didn't advocate that we were starting PJ Walker, but we did like DJ Moore a lot more, and we liked Terrace Marshall. Is there one of these quarterbacks we prefer to boost the value of the pass catchers in Carolina?
Yeah, I think not Baker Mayfield. We also saw Sam Darnold elevated. He can now is eligible to return next week as well. So this is just a complete mess. And I did read one of the a beat reporter's article last night just to see like if we could get any leaning from this. And it was like, it's going to be hard to go back to PJ Walker. And I'm like, what? I know he had a bad game yesterday. He played terribly, but like, it's easier to go back to Baker Mayfield after that start that you had. I don't really get that. I will say, though, in yesterday in the one half with Baker Mayfield, DJ Moore and Terrace Marshall each had a 25% target share. They each had 40 or more percent of the air yard share as well, and they each were targeted in the end zone. So maybe there's good things coming from Baker Mayfield, but part of me is like, how much is that just the game plan that was built around PJ Walker?
I also feel like how much of that was the Bengals being up so big in that game that they just sort of let off the gas and opened some things up and allowed Mayfield to make some plays. I don't love Baker Mayfield at the quarterback spot for either of these receivers because we've seen how this movie goes, and it is not a good ending for either Moore, potentially for Terrace Marshall. We've never seen Terrace Marshall with Baker Mayfield, so I don't really know, but it just doesn't seem good either way. Maybe it is hard to go back to PJ Walker. I don't know. So that means Sam Darnold, come on down. Maybe you're the next starting quarterback for the Carolina Panthers. This is where we are in 2022. That gets us to our big takeaways from Sunday. We put together 5 things that we noticed from the games going on and kind of put our heads together and come up with ways you can maybe action them for fantasy going forward. So the first one, what did you come away with?
The easiest one of the day, I would say Justin Fields. He's a league winner. Like, he's a must-start quarterback. If you picked up Justin Fields the last couple of weeks off the waiver wire, rejoice. Like, there's not many quarterbacks I would comfortably say I would want over Justin Fields right now. It's like Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, and then it starts being Mahomes maybe, and then it starts being a discussion. Like, he's really been playing that well. At least 47 rushing yards in every game since week 3, over 17 fantasy points in every game since week 5, but over 23 in each of his last 3. Yesterday was the most rushing yards a quarterback ever ran for in a regular season game. Only Colin Kaepernick has more in a playoff game. Plus, he threw for a career-high 3 touchdowns. He's looking more comfortable as a passer of the football. I don't know how you come away from this without feeling anything but like Justin Fields could win me my league right now.
Over the last 4 weeks, Justin Fields has more rushing yards than Leonard Fournette and Najee Harris have all season long. That's how good he's been running the football. Also becoming more efficient as a passer, about a 63% completion rate over the last five games. Actually going back to week five, I should say. So it is coming together for Justin Fields. I know a lot of folks out there sort of victory lapping and pulling receipts on people who didn't somehow just immediately fall in love with Justin Fields. We can kind of chill on that because let's be honest, the first couple weeks weren't great. There weren't a lot of things to be excited about.
And let's not act like a lot of people weren't saying like, we like Fields the talent. We hate the way the Bears are trying to make him a pocket passer. Everything changed when the Bears started letting Justin Fields play Justin Fields game.
It was less about the player, more about the situation. But a lot of people seem to be pulling receipts and victory lapping. I guess if that makes you feel good, go on and do that.
We might have someone here who's going to do that later.
I think so. I have a feeling there's a guy in this building who's going to be victory lapping about Justin Fields this week. Let's stay in the NFC North, and I will tell you that the Packers are pretty nearly unusable in fantasy. We spent all week talking about this Green Bay offense going against the Lions. This was about as good a matchup as you could expect for fantasy. The Lions were giving up 32 points per game on defense. Green Bay scored 9. Aaron Rodgers actually had a decent passing game. He had nearly 300 yards, but he also threw 3 interceptions in that when Green Bay struggled to move the football consistently. Aaron Jones ended up leaving the game, was seen in a walking boot afterwards. X-rays have come back clean, so he should be on the practice field this week. But neither he nor A.J. Dillon could get anything going. Romeo Doubs left with a high ankle sprain. He could be out 4 to 6 weeks. We were already pretty much off Aaron Rodgers because of the way things had gone. But now, Florio, if Aaron Jones isn't getting anything going and they couldn't get it going against the Lions, I don't know what to do with this group now.
Yeah, it's wild to say, like, the only Packer, I think, outside of Aaron Jones, and if he's not getting it done, like you said, it's like Alan Lazard or bust. And like, who, even their defense is disappointing. Like, it's just all together.
All bad in Green Bay. I guess we're staying in the NFC North. This is a whole NFC North heavy segment here. What's next for you?
Until we see DeAndre Swift in a larger role and back to like his normal role, we cannot trust him for fantasy. And this is the worst kind of situation because Swift is way too good and has way too much upside to drop, but you can't start him right now. So he's just taking a valuable spot on your roster. But yesterday, he played just 16% of the snaps, had 2 carries, and 4 targets. Yeah, you love to see that he caught all his targets for 40 yards. That's great. But then you're looking at Jamal Williams, 63% of the snaps, 24 carries. He's the back getting the goal line work. Like, there's just not enough opportunity for Swift to have a safe floor. And there's not enough opportunity for him really to show that ceiling either. Because unless on one of his 6 touches, he breaks out like a long touchdown run, what is he going to do?
That is the problem. And I thought that maybe because of the matchup, he could maybe hit a home run and it was worth putting him in as a flex. That didn't really work out. But we'll see what happens if he's going to get healthier and be able to play a little bit more in the weeks to come. Staying with the running back theme, the Dolphins apparently have 2 that you can use. We all have loved Raheem Mostert all season long for good reason. He basically supplanted Chase Edmonds in that backfield. I didn't think Jeff Wilson was going to get the kind of workload that he got on Sunday against Chicago and ended up having a really nice game. And so now you wonder whether it's going to be a 50-50 split in the backfield between Wilson and Mostert going forward. But either way, I think both of these guys are usable. Now, if it is going to be a 50-50 split, I think you do have to knock Mostert down just a little bit, but he's still explosive. He can hit a home run pretty much anytime he touches the ball. But Wilson stepped in there with 72 scrimmage yards, had a touchdown as well. Mostert got in the end zone. Both these guys have home run potential. They have sort of, I guess at this point, what, low-end RB2 upside if they're splitting those opportunities. But it went from 1 guy in the backfield to 2 guys, but both of them, I think, are still kind of valuable right now.
And especially because I know, not to get into the whole Tua deep ball thing, but these receivers are winning downfield, which means you have to worry about Waddle and Hill downfield, which opens stuff up near the line of scrimmage.
Very much the case there. What last takeaway do you have?
This one hurts me to say, but the Colts, their offense is broken, and they are ruining Michael Pittman Jr. And we learned just before we started recording that the Colts let go of head coach Frank Reich. Jeff Saturday, the first coach that I've ever seen without a single minute of coaching experience, he's going to be the interim head coach moving down the way. But Jeff Saturday, Jim Irsay, whoever this plea needs to go out to, can we please go back to Matt Ryan? Like, I understand things weren't going well with him. He was taking a lot of sacks. There was too many turnovers. Sam Ehlinger was sacked 9 times yesterday and turned the ball over while the Colts scored 3 points. Yeah, the logic is he's more mobile. He can evade the pressure. But he's not. And if he's not going to do it, at least Matt Ryan gets the ball out quickly to Michael Pittman, to Jonathan Taylor, to your playmakers. And the offense didn't look this broken. So, like, the only hope, I think, right now for the Colts is a switch back to Matt Ryan.
They have hired an interim head coach with no head coaching experience. They don't have a play caller. It is all bad in Indianapolis right now. And for our sake, look, your season sort of circling the drain. How about you help us out in our fantasy seasons and go back to the quarterback?
There's no salvaging this season for the Colts.
Like, probably not. It probably doesn't feel like that. So why don't you guys help us out? Our top performers for week 9, we talked about Justin Fields, 42, almost 43 fantasy points, passed for 3 touchdowns, ran for 1 more, plus 178 yards on the ground. Joe Mixon, who just went nuclear against the Panthers, 5 total touchdowns, 55 fantasy points. Devontae Adams got back on the good foot, even if the Raiders didn't, 10 for a buck 46 and 2 touchdowns. That was more than 36 and a half. Dallas Goedert back on Thursday night, 8 catches for 100 yards, even in a touchdown. That was 24 points. Nick Folk kicked 4 field goals for 14 points, and the Patriots defense just dominated the Colts, scoring 24 fantasy points. Let's talk some of these top performers, though. Cordarrelle Patterson didn't make it on the board, but comes back off of injured reserve, gets a huge workload, finds the end zone a couple of times. So I guess Cordarrelle Patterson is back officially now.
Yeah, he is back. He scored the 2 touchdowns. The one thing, though, that stood out to me was that Tyler Allgeier was really effective as well in this game. And I think that's the 1-2 punch that Arthur Smith and the Falcons want to have. I'm not sure if Cordarrelle Patterson will be able to duplicate what he did last year, where he was an RB1 and a league winner. But I do think he is a very useful piece for fantasy. And Tyler Allgeier is like a flex option, I would say.
I think both these guys are going to get opportunities. And they can play on the field at the same time because, as you remember, I mean, Cordarrelle Patterson before last year was a wide receiver. So they can split him out, put Allgeier in the backfield, and still have both these guys in the available in the offense. Saw Devontae Adams with the big game, and this just felt like a course correction. You know, the week before against New Orleans was bad, just what, the 1 catch for 3 yards, I believe it was. So we saw him get use early and often. Although I think in the second half, I believe it was just 1 catch, I think it was. It wasn't a lot in the second half for Devontae Adams, but for our purposes, this was more of the kind of performance we were expecting out of him.
Yeah, he played great, but like you said, in the first half, he caught all 9 of his targets for 146 yards and 2 touchdowns, and in the second half, he caught 1 of his 8 targets for no yards. Like, it is concerning a little bit that they have struggled to use him at times this season, but when you have 17 targets, like, yeah, you're going to be fine. Devontae Adams, I think his floor isn't as safe as what it was with Aaron Rodgers because he never had bad games with Aaron Rodgers, and he's had some with Derek Carr, but we know he's a guy that you start each and every week. The rest of the Raiders, pass catchers, not so much.
Not so much. We still haven't seen Darren Waller in a few weeks. Mac Hollins has been inconsistent. I know I'm not the first person to come up with this, but Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams, they miss each other right now.
It's like the pointing people in the painting.
Oh, yeah.
That's
them
too.
That's exactly those two. Geno Smith continues to do really good things here, and he probably won't win the fantasy MVP award, but he should definitely be in the running considering you probably didn't have to spend a draft pick to get him. You probably picked him up off the waiver wire, and he's carried you in a year where quarterback has been so inconsistent. Did it again against the Cardinals, nearly 21 fantasy points. Is he a must start every week?
I think so. And I was going to say, he's not going to win the fantasy MVP, but he deserves to be in the discussion. I think he deserves to be in the real life MVP discussion as well. Like, this is a team that myself and many others, like, I had them pegged to be the number one pick in the draft next season. And here they are in first place by multiple games, 9 weeks into the season. Yeah, and next week, I know they play the Bucs. People might get afraid of that matchup. I think he's kind of matchup-proof, especially given the state of the quarterback position.
The quarterback position has been bad outside of, say, the top 4 or 5 guys. Geno Smith has very much worked himself into the conversation of being a solid week-in and week-out QB1.
And kudos to you, because you were on the Geno Smith hype train well before others.
I thought after a couple weeks, I'm like, this looks like it's sustainable. I will admit, I wasn't 100%, but I stuck by it.
And you were there a lot sooner than other people.
It's worked out so far. Christian Kirk started the season hot, sort of faded, bounced back a little bit against the Raiders. I feel like this is just him, though, right? He's going to be volatile. He's, what, a wide receiver two at best. But this was him taking advantage of a good opportunity this week.
Yeah, he had over 30% target and air yard share yesterday. And I do think this is who he is. Like, he's like a volatile wide receiver two who will put up wide receiver one numbers some week and like wide receiver four numbers others. But I really don't think it's a Christian Kirk issue. I think it's just a Trevor Lawrence is still very inconsistent at this point of his career.
That's probably what it is. I mean, Lawrence will make some really good throws. He'll do some things that are sort of questionable. But Christian Kirk is still the number one wide receiver there in Jacksonville. Very curious what happens next year if and when Calvin Ridley is back and able to play and how that sort of shakes out the targets. But that is another conversation for another time. One last one, Darnell Mooney, who, at least for 1 week, roared back to life. Even in a game where Justin Fields didn't have a ton of passing yards, Mooney, 7 catches for 43 and a touchdown, which, I don't know, I think most weeks sort of feels like the ceiling for a Bears pass catcher. But I'm happy that he got there this week.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, the floor isn't super high. The ceiling isn't super high. But as long as he's getting volume, like, to me, he's like a wide receiver three or flex guy that we know can outperform those spots. But yeah, Fields, as good as he played yesterday, 123 passing yards.
That was it. But that 178 rushing yards, man, that made us feel a whole lot better about it. So those are the guys who played well. And how about the guys who did not play well? It's time for our biggest disappointments of the week. And who broke your heart in week 9?
Evan Ingram. And I know he's dealing with a back injury right now. And maybe that explains why not one, not two, not three, but four Jaguars tight ends were heavily involved in the passing attack yesterday. But after four straight games of at least 6 targets and at least 9 fantasy points, just 1 catch for 8 yards in a very good matchup as well. Like I said, there was multiple Jaguars tight ends that outscored him in fantasy. So this was a reminder like, hey, Evan Ingram, still Evan Ingram. Like, he's been better than he's been in the past. I think he's still in play as a streaming option. But he's going to have weeks like this where he lets you down.
Still very volatile. I got another tight end who let us down this week, and it was Tyler Higbee. And we've been saying for weeks that the only two pieces in the Rams offense you can trust consistently had been Cooper Kupp and Tyler Higbee. That might be down to just one now. It may just be the Cooper Kupp show for Los Angeles. Higbee, 0 catches, 1 target, 0 catches, 0 yards. It's the whole reason you're seeing me on camera if you're watching the streaming show, because we don't have any highlights for Tyler Higbee from Sunday because he didn't do anything. So, I don't know. Does it mean do we bail on Higbee now? A tight end is so thin. Can we still have some faith going forward in him?
I've seen a lot of people on Twitter advocating to drop Tyler to Higbee, and I'm like, well, you clearly haven't checked the schedule yet, because next week they get the Arizona Cardinals, who allowed the most, and literally now this after this past week, it's the most production in every category to tight ends.
There it is. So hang on to Tyler Higbee at least for one more week, because you get the Cardinals coming up next week. That would be a rookie mistake to drop him, which means lineup mistakes were made. There are people to be blamed. We'll get to a few of them sent to us by the fans over at NFL Fantasy. This one from Mana the Dana. And Dan saying, Devonta Smith and Tyler Boyd instead of Curtis Samuel. This was a good process. It just didn't work out for you.
Yeah, like I have Curtis Samuel in a couple of teams. I loved the production I got yesterday, but admittedly, it was better. Like, that was a should-be interception ball that Taylor Heineke just, like, chucked up. And somehow, not only did he somehow catch this ball if you're watching the stream, he somehow went untouched into the end zone after that.
Yeah, I don't really know how it happened. It was amazing, but this was the YOLOist of all YOLO balls from Taylor Heineke, and it just worked out. But everything else about the matchup said that Devonta Smith and Tyler Boyd were the plays there. So I get your frustration. I totally get it.
Randy reminded me, the safety on that play ran into the referee, and then that's how it just led to pure chaos after
just
that.
Pure chaos. So I understand your frustration, Dan, but you made the right decision, all right? Absolutely. Next one up, this one from Better Jordan, DJ Moore over Josh Palmer. Again, I understand the thought process here. I like Josh Palmer, but I like DJ Moore too, so I understand the thought process with this one. Again, it just didn't work out for you.
It was an all-time bad day for the Panthers, yes. But on paper, it made sense to go with DJ Moore.
Absolutely, so don't beat yourself up too much about that one. Next one up, this one from Spencer Pratt, who said, Fields over Herbert. Herbert can ride the bench for the rest of the season now. Honestly, if you have Justin Fields, That actually might not be too far from wrong at this point.
I would try to trade Justin Herbert if I could there. And I would have played Fields over Herbert myself, but I can't knock anyone for sitting Fields for Herbert.
This week with Justin Herbert, the concern was just not having pass catchers. No Mike Williams, no Keenan Allen. Yeah, I liked Josh Palmer, but it is a little bit of a downgrade not having those other guys there. So, yeah, maybe try to trade one of them. You have two Justins. You only need one Justin. One Justin is enough on your roster. Last one from Gavin says, Kyle Pitts over Cade Otton. It's getting harder to defend Kyle Pitts every week.
I'm actually going in the exact opposite direction. I'm feeling better about Kyle Pitts today than I have in weeks.
Okay.
He had more air yards yesterday than a tight end has had in any game. He's had at least 7 targets in 2 straight. Like, I know the production wasn't there this past week, but all we've been clamoring for is consistent usage. If he starts getting that each week, it's going to be better.
I hope so. It's just, we're coming up on week 10 and we're still trying to make the case for Kyle Pitts. It's getting hard.
I am not going to make the case that Kyle Pitts is ever going to live up to our pre-draft expectations.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
But in season, Kyle Pitts could be more useful than he gets credit for.
All right, I'll go with you on that one. He did have a long throw that Mariota overthrew him on. He was downfield behind the defense and Mariota just overshot him. That would have completely changed the day if they would have connected. We are excited to be joined now by a man who is a podcaster. He's developing his own app. He is a weightlifter. But more importantly for our purposes, he is the star running back of the Los Angeles Chargers. It is Austin Eckler, the Chargers fresh off a win in Atlanta against the Falcons. And Austin, we appreciate your time. How are you feeling on this Monday?
You know, typical Monday, pretty beat up after a game. But this is kind of the life that I've chosen. So it is what it is, you know, get back to work, get my body right, and then be back to scoring touchdowns this next Sunday.
Well, I want to start with all the things you do. I want to actually start with your foundation, because you have the Austin Eckler Foundation. And just tell us a little bit about kind of what it is that you guys do there and kind of what you're hoping to accomplish.
Yeah, man, with just my journey through life and, you know, just my upcoming, I've really tried to push myself to a limit where I can continue to just go grow and grow and grow and put myself in situations where I can continue to push myself as far as I can. And in the meantime, I've also realized that I've been motivating people to do the same for themselves as well. And so that's where I wanted to bring in the foundation to basically put resources back in the community that people can use as opportunities to give themselves a chance to get their life started. I'm talking like washers and dryers for schools that have, you know, like lower income families that are living in assisted living or living, you know, in their cars and don't have washers and dryers so they can go to school and get their clothes clean. Things like a weight room, things like bags and clothing and other supplies that help that I think most people, people in America would seem as like necessities, like you have to have those. And so there's a situation where, not because people have made choices to not have them, but because the situation they're in, they haven't had access to that. So that's what the foundation is doing. We're going back and helping people get their life on the right track.
And Austin, you're going to help a lot of people win fantasy leagues. Would definitely encourage anyone to, you know, maybe take some of your fantasy league winnings and make a donation there. But Austin, it's not just a fantasy football player. As someone who analyzes the game like we do, what's it feel like to be the fantasy football MVP?
Wow. I would definitely say don't analyze it like you do. So what draws me to fantasy football is the community aspect of fantasy football. I love what it does for the game. I love what it does for our communities. It brings us together, keeps people competitive, keeps, you know, old buddies in touch, things like that. And so that's what really drew me to it. And then just the support that I've gotten throughout the years from the fantasy football community has been immense. And I love it because I can hang out with the guys and, you know, support the league and actually get to know other guys on different teams because, you know, that's what fantasy football is. It's your team made up of other players from different teams.
And speaking of players on other teams, is you're the MVP right now through 9 weeks of the season. Is there anyone in the league that has your eye of like, hey, this guy might be coming for my award?
Yeah, man. Who's this running back? I think it was Walker for the Seahawks. Oh my God, that guy's a stud. That guy's a stud. I told him after he played us because he ran all over us. And I was like, man, I am a fan. So I would say, yeah, Walker over there at the Seahawks is definitely coming for it. I mean, Nick Chubb is right there too, right? You know, we're neck and neck for downs right now. And then there's some other stud running backs that have been doing their thing too, but they got to continue to earn some respect over a couple of years before I put them in that discussion.
I wanted to ask you about your game yesterday against Atlanta, because you guys fell behind early. It was 10-0 pretty early in that game. You were able to regroup and end up pulling out the win. What was it that you guys talked about on the sidelines to kind of help get things turned around yesterday?
Man, as long as I've been playing in the league, really, even if you're down, like, no one's out. Like, you watch games week to week. You can get down, you can get up. Like, if you watch the Raider game, you know about that. Like, yesterday, they were up 17-0. And lost the game. And that's the NFL. That's what the NFL is. Like, the NFL is, hey, guys, we've been working. We got to continue to work with, regardless of what happens. If we're winning, if we're losing, guess what? We got to go out there and do the best we can to try to get ourselves in a position that we can win. And so, we're down. It really doesn't matter. Like, yeah, it doesn't feel great. But guess what? It doesn't matter if we feel good or feel bad. We got to go out there and try to perform. So that's exactly what we did.
Yeah, and talking about never giving up, you had one of the – it was a near – but almost one of the most amazing touchdowns that I've ever seen. And you were talking about Kenneth Walker and him standing out. Are there any other running backs that catch your eye around the league that you think deserve some more praise right now?
I mean, yeah, there's a couple. You know, Breece Hall wasn't one, unfortunately, right? He had his knee injury. There's, I think it's Ramondre. Is that his name for the Patriots that's been sticking out? So yeah, just a few stud rookies that have been, I don't think Ramondre is a rookie actually, but just a few young guys that have been really, stepping up to their opportunity. So it's been good to see. We always need a turnover of some new talent, something new and exciting. So that's good.
So you guys went into yesterday a little bit shorthanded. I know Keenan's banged up, Mike Williams banged up a little bit. When you guys get together as a group to sort of game plan for the week, what's more important to how you put together a game plan? Is it the defense you're facing, or is it the personnel that you guys have? How much do you factor all that in?
Wow, that's a great question. There's a little bit of both. I would say you try to put the players that you have in a position that you think they'll have the most success based off of the defense that you're going to be expecting to see. It doesn't mean you're always going to see that defense, and a lot of times there's times where you're like, oh, we weren't planned for this, and so we have to adjust on the run. I would say for the most part it is your personnel is the heaviest factor that plays into that, and your personnel allows you to open up your playbook even more if you have guys that can do multiple things. And you know, right now we have guys banged up, so we have guys that are having to step up and you know, take a role that has been a little bit bigger than they had before. But you know, that's what is also great about the NFL is now you get a chance. That's how I'm here sitting here talking to you today, is because I had a chance. I took advantage of an opportunity, and now here I am, you know, leading the way for the running backs in fantasy.
And as we were talking about earlier, we're always breaking down this game every week. And in fantasy, one big thing is trying to find like new trends in an offense to be on a player before other people are. But often it's just like a case of it was just being one big game. Is there any tips, as someone who watches film way more closely than the rest of us, to identifying what's just a one game thing and maybe what might be something that can stick?
Yeah, I think it comes down to, you know, who did maybe that person, maybe that popped off, who do they play? I think, you know, there's, for instance, Joe Mixon had like 55 fantasy points. It's like when you have scenarios like that, it's like, okay, like maybe there's some talent there, but let's take a deeper look. Who are they playing? What was the scenario as far as the defense? Do they struggle against the run type of thing? You know, even if you look at our defense, I feel like we've been struggling against the run for the past couple weeks, right? And so the running backs that are coming up against us are having these huge games. And so like all that takes into account whether you're going to pick up a guy. But I mean, at this point in the season, if you have anyone that's popping off, you probably should pick them up, because, you know, usually everyone's picked up by now. So if anyone pops off, definitely snag him if they're still available. That would be my tip.
Austin, I know you take care of yourself. I know this is a recovery day for you, as you mentioned. I also know that you went to the coaches when the schedule expanded to 17 games to sort of try to figure out that balance to make sure that you were going to be fresh come the end of the season. I also know a lot of running backs want to get touches. They want to get in that rhythm. How do you find that balance between getting enough opportunities since you're in a rhythm without making sure you're going to get overworked over the course of a season?
Yeah, you know, it comes down to balance, right? And balance of longevity and balance of, you know, short-term impact on the team. And so I want to make sure I'm making the biggest impact on the team as I can, and making sure I'm being efficient and able to be fresh. Well, that means being available for the entire season usually. So you do want to have some sort of, I guess, counterpart that can also take some load off you, that can also continue to have a high level of play, right? Because that's going to, you know, be able to, that's going to allow us to be able to share workload. Doesn't mean I'm going to be less efficient. Hopefully it means I'm going to be more efficient. Might have fewer touches, but like I said, the longevity of it, right? Playing in week 18 is the benefit that hopefully you're trying to come out with that. And so there's a lot of different things that can happen, scenarios where you have injuries where it's like, Austin, that's just not the scenario right now. You got to play, you know, pretty much, you know, as much as you can. And, you know, you kind of just roll with the punches. Ideally, I would like to have someone that, yeah, is able to get out there and continue to basically half and half, because I know how that feels. And you can still have success like that as a running back, but then also feel really good after games.
Austin, next week is a great running back matchup between you, the RB1 in fantasy, and one of the players trying to catch you in Christian McCaffrey. But the only thing that McCaffrey has on you this year is he's thrown a passing touchdown. So do you have to warm up your shoulder? Can we expect to see you throwing some passes anytime soon?
You know, I don't want to give away too much of the playbook. So I'm not saying it can't happen. It's just really.
Well, it's funny because how you talk about balance, right? Balance in terms of, like, you know, preparing yourself and keeping your body fresh. How important is balance in an offense? You know, throwing the ball versus running the ball. Maybe it's not 50-50, but where do you guys find a good balance in terms of mixing up your play calling?
You find a good balance in what's success. You know, it's not necessarily that we're trying to have balance running and passing. We're just trying to have balance in whatever we're having success in, continuing to do that. And for the most part, that has looked like football league having pass and run. But for some teams, it's like, hey, we can pass the ball a bunch, and that gives us a good balance. Our balance is a little bit different than other teams, right? Like, it depends on the personnel, it depends on, you know, who you have, how guys are playing. And so, you know, for instance, you know, if you look at the, you know, the Titans, you know, in that game, like, Derrick Henry, you got to get it going, man. Like he's their guy. Right? It's going to make plays for them. So their balance is a lot different than, you know, their counterparts who they played, you know, just this last Sunday, Patrick Mahomes, where he threw like 65 times, right? So the balance is always different depending on the team. And luckily for me, I can run and catch the ball. So, you know, I'll fit into any scenario and be able to make plays wherever you need me to.
And as fantasy players, we all have, like, horror stories. Like, if you play Joe Mixon this week, you probably lost. So I'm wondering, have you ever lost a fantasy matchup because you went against yourself?
Yeah, all the time.
What sort of things you want to do? Like, we hope you play for a long time and have a lot of success, and we appreciate your time. But when your playing career is eventually over, what sort of things are you going to occupy your time with?
Man, wow. So this is something that I'm, like, very passionate about. And really, it's the same things that I'm doing now, which is really putting myself in opportunities to grow. Right. That's why I have the app. That's why I have the foundation. You know, I have my different podcasts with Yahoo, with Twitch. And then, you know, just I have a real estate fund, and then just me learning, my education, my network. So I'll continue to expand in those different avenues, because I think that's what really gives you in life, is when you're able to continue to bring value to your own life and then also apply that value in other aspects of your life. And so for me, I'm just going to continue to fill my life with that and try to do as much as I can and try to make as big of an impact as people's lives as they can, to show that even the things that I'm doing, even though I've, you know, started a lot earlier maybe than some other people, they're not hard. It's not that I'm doing anything spectacular as far as my talent or anything like that. It's really coming down to me working and being consistent in my work. And guess what? Continue to pay off. It might pay off a little bit faster or slower than some other people, but guess what? It's going to have some type of progress in your life. And so if I can help people realize that and help people realize that it's really just a commitment to some type of journey that can put you on a path to have some type of fulfillment in your life, then guess what? You should probably go down that, because it's going to lead to some type of life that you never even imagined for yourself. Like myself here, I never was even going to think about playing in the NFL. And now I'm here, and now I'm growing on top of it. So that's what I'll be doing when I'm done playing.
Well, we certainly appreciate the work you're doing off the field. We're excited and we enjoy watching the work you do on the field. And we're certainly grateful you took some time for us today. You can check out Austin Eckler, of course, on Eckler's Edge with our good friend Matt Harmon on the Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast podcast. So, again, we thank you for the time, Austin, and continue the success. Best of luck for the rest of the season.
I appreciate it, boys. Thanks for having me on.
Time to talk about some of the top waiver wire targets for Week 10. Florio, take us through your list.
Marcus Mariota, who I know played poorly in Week 9, but runs a lot, and he has a great matchup who he just went off against a couple weeks ago in the Panthers. Daniel Jones in a matchup against the Houston Texans. And then Deshaun Watson, because I know we're a couple weeks away, but he can return shortly. So if you need a quarterback, grab him. Jeff Wilson Jr., Rashad White, Cam Akers. Jeff Wilson Jr. really the only name to go too heavy on there at the running back position. And then some receivers. George Pickens, who was dropped in a good amount of leagues because of the bye week. Get him on your roster now with no Chase Claypool there. Rondell Moore continues to be heavily involved with no Marquise Brown. Terrace Marshall Jr. Continues to be heavily involved there. Julio Jones is back and healthy. Odell Beckham Jr., just because he's getting cleared this week, could be signed and back in our lives soon. Samore Torre, just because Romeo Doubs left due to injury. And then some tight ends. Cole Kmet, Cade Otton, and Greg Dulcich. Just don't forget about Greggy D there after the bye last week.
Yeah, Greg Dulcich, who stepped in and has immediately had a pretty large workload, a big role there in Denver. So definitely keep him in mind if you need some tight end help, which pretty much most of us do. If you want more in-depth analysis on some of these waiver wire picks, be sure to check out Matt Okada's weekly waiver wire column. You can find that at NFL.com/waiver wire. There are four teams on a bye this week: the Ravens, Bengals, Patriots, and Jets. So you're going to be missing certainly a couple of key quarterbacks, probably some running backs as well, heading into Week 10. But let's talk about some of the guys that we have on this list. Jeff Wilson, talked about him at the top of the show. The Dolphins do have two solid running backs now in Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson. Knowing that it could be a 50-50 split, how confident are you in maybe starting Wilson, say, as a flex on a weekly basis?
I think it would depend on the matchup. Like, the Bears are a team that you can run all over. We know that they have struggled against the run, so that was a favorable spot for them. Next week, the Dolphins, they have another favorable matchup, if I'm remembering correctly. The Browns, they're a defense that you can run all over. We know that. So, like, in a matchup like that, I think they're in play. Like, the week they play the Patriots, I might get away from the running backs a little bit. But what stood out to me was in his first game, he literally had to get a private plane last week to fly him to Florida because it was in the middle of the week. He played more snaps, had the same number of carries, and had an extra target than Raheem Mostert did.
I know one of the things he said was that everything was pretty much the same. I think they have tweaked a little bit of the terminology, some of the wording they use there in Miami versus San Francisco, but everything was the same. So there really was no learning curve. He could jump right in and handle the offense, which is why you saw him get as much work as he did. I would also say, you know, look, if you are in a 10-team league, you're not flexing Jeff Wilson, but deeper leagues, bigger leagues, I do think he has the ability, the ceiling, or maybe the floor, either way, to get into your lineup. Terrace Marshall Jr., it was not a great day for him on Sunday. It was not a great day for the Panthers in general, but the usage continues to be what we want, so I guess it's worth still starting him.
Yeah, six targets yesterday was a team high. He led them with 53 receiving yards. He also caught a touchdown, but what stands out to me is last week he had three end zone targets. This week he had two. Both came from Baker Mayfield in the second half, as did his touchdown. And then that's five end zone targets in the last 2 weeks. To put that into perspective, DJ Moore is tied for the team lead with five all season. And I think behind him, it's like one person has another end zone target. So, like, they are funneling this offense in the red zone through Terrace Marshall. And to me, that's enough to make him a top receiver pickup this
week. Well, and he's starting to look like the guy we thought had sleeper potential last year. He just never could consistently be on the field. So now it's starting to come together for him midway through this season. Cole Kmet was a guy that we liked as a sleeper coming into the year at tight end, and sort of like the rest of the Bears offense, the early part of the season, not so great. Last couple of weeks, though, Kmet's starting to come to life as Justin Fields starts to get more efficient. So maybe we're adding one more tight end to the pot right now.
Yeah, I think so. And seeing him catch his first touchdown last week since 2020 and then follow it up with two this week, you have to be feeling very encouraged. And spoiler alert, he's going to be a start in this week's Stardom Sit-Em article because of the matchup against the Lions and stuff. But not only is it a good matchup, like, we're talking about a guy who is ascending in a red hot offense right now, who's getting more and more work each week and who's not leaving the field. And then he's a tight end. Like, that's enough right there to pick him up.
Definitely. The fact that he's getting in the end zone is a big, big plus for Cole Kmet. So if the target share stays there, even in a low-volume passing offense, I think we can start to trust Cole Kmet a little bit. Deshaun Watson is still suspended. He's expected to return in Week 13, December 4th, against the Houston Texans. So still a few weeks away from him playing. But, Florian, we have seen his rostership percentage go up. And at a time when we need quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson, I mean, look, we know what he can be, what he has been in this league on the field as a player. It just seems like this is a guy who is too talented to leave out there on the waiver wire. And look, I don't know how quickly he gets back into things, but he does have the potential to really help out a lot of fantasy rosters.
Yeah, I was shocked yesterday when I checked the rostered percentage and saw that it was over 40%. And that means people are planning ahead and saying, hey, quarterback is a wasteland for many teams this year. So especially if you were the team riding with like a Brady or a Rodgers or a Stafford or any of the many disappointing quarterbacks, you want this guy on your roster because, like Marcus said, we don't know what he's going to be when he comes back. There could be a lot of rust to shake off, but we know the upside is that this guy's top five, maybe even top three quarterback. And then the schedule, like, he returns against the Texans, then he gets the Bengals, Ravens, Saints, Commanders. Like, not a whole lot of really tough matchups in that five-game span that scare me.
And look, even if he's rusty throwing the football, we know he still has that rushing upside. We've talked about it. I mean, it's part of the reason we've been so big on Justin Fields. Even if he's not throwing it effectively, he's running it effectively, and that is a thing that Deshaun Watson brings to the table. I'm sure this is not the last time we will say that name. We will talk about him again as we get closer to his return at the start of December. So if you're adding some people, you're probably dropping some people. Who are a couple of guys you can put back in the free agent pool?
Brian Robinson, who I know was a great story, and we were really excited to have him back. He's scored double digits just twice all year. His high is 12, and that came in a game with a touchdown. There's just no floor and no ceiling. And then yesterday, Antonio Gibson had more snaps. They split carries. Gibson had more targets and was just more productive, both on the ground and in the passing game. So Brian Robinson losing snaps to Gibson on a team that really struggled, like, is more of a team that has to throw because they're usually playing from behind. I just don't see a lot of, unless you're in a deeper league, of course, where any running back with a pulse is worth rostering. But if you're in like a 10-team league or something like that, Brian Robinson does not need to be rostered.
So Brian Robinson out, and then Aaron Rodgers.
Oh yeah, Aaron Rodgers as well. Another one, because he's not getting the job done against the Lions. We're going to trust him against other teams, and his schedule gets tougher moving forward. Like, I'm done doing the Aaron Rodgers thing.
It's pretty much a wrap for Aaron Rodgers. I'm also saying it's really getting hard to make a case to keep Derek Carr on your roster, because even at his ceiling, it is just pretty much average right now. And the Raiders got off to a quick start yesterday against the Jaguars, really did nothing in the second half. Derek Carr not doing much after halftime in a lot of these games. And look, if you're looking to stream quarterbacks, I think week to week you can probably find better options out there if you're just going to kind of play the waiver wire. I don't think there's a reason to hold on to Derek Carr at this point. You also don't need to be holding on to Elijah Moore. And I was surprised. I saw that he's still rostered in 43% of NFL.com leagues. I don't know if that's just because people have, you know, aren't paying attention or what have you, but Elijah Moore is pretty much in jail there in New York. I mean, he can't get free. He's on the field, but nobody's looking in his direction. He's just getting his steps in on a weekly basis. The Jets don't want to move him. They don't want to give him the ball. It's all bad there for him. So at this point, there's no reason that 43% of leagues should be rostering Elijah Moore. I don't get it at all. On November 13th, the NFL debuts in Germany live on NFL Network. Brady and the Bucks battle DK and the Seahawks. Wake up and watch with the world. It's Sunday Morning Football live from Munich, Sunday, November 13th at 9:30 a.m. Eastern, only on NFL Network and streaming on NFL Plus. Time for another edition of Madden Movers, where we talk about some guys who maybe deserve a little bit of a bump in their Madden rating based on what they did in Week 9. So think of it as a way to give some love to some guys we otherwise weren't able to get into the show today. So for you, who's the first guy who deserves a little bit of love this week?
A player that I didn't anticipate being like a huge supporter of coming into the year, but Tua Tagovailoa, because he just deserves a lot of credit. Like, he's playing great football right now. And yeah, the throw downfield to Jalen Waddle was a little underthrown, but he still is getting the most out of his receivers. Tyreek Hill is on pace to be the first ever 2,000-yard receiver, and he is surgical when it comes to passes in the intermediate zone, which is 10 to 19 air yards. Like, I've never seen someone put the ball so quickly, such on, like, yeah, these guys are so fast, and he gets the ball, like, it's just so effortlessly the way he just gets them the ball and allows them to do their thing after the catch.
When I saw the deep ball to Jalen Waddle, I did think about you.
he's not the best deep ball thrower. I've never said he is, but he can get the job done.
Knowing how Twitter was letting you have it about Tua's deep ball, when I saw that, I was like, oh, Florio's mentions, RIP.
I'll take it.
I got Cade Otton, who deserves a little bit of a bump. He's a 67 overall. Maybe he needs a little bit more than that. He had what was the game-winning touchdown on Sunday against the Rams. But more than that, he's actually starting to earn the trust of Tom Brady. And yes, he's not going to replace Rob Gronkowski. Nobody is saying that. But we do know that Brady likes throwing to his tight ends. It was Gronk. It was Cameron Brate at times. And now it looks like it's going to be Cade Otton, especially for an offense that's struggling to move the ball consistently. Maybe having that tight end option in the middle of the field, those intermediate depths, will help open some things up for guys like Chris Godwin and Mike Evans and even Julio Jones as well. But he's starting to get more looks, get more touches, get in the end zone. So I think Cade Otton deserves a little bit of extra love from the folks over at EA. Next one, who else deserves a bit of a boost?
Travis Etienne, who is an 81 overall, and he's something like the 20-something best, or maybe it's just like just inside the top 20 running backs in Madden. But ask fantasy managers, there's not 15, there's not 10 running backs right now in the NFL better than Travis Etienne. Since they've traded James Robinson, he's eclipsed 120 yards in both games, over 25 fantasy points in both games, and 3 touchdowns in the last 2 games combined. He can get the job done on the ground. He can get the job done through the passing game. There's nothing he can't do.
Well, and now with James Robinson there, it is really his backfield. Jamichael Hasty, not really a threat to get a significant number of touches. Travis Etienne looking like a legit potential league winner for a lot of fantasy teams. Noah Fant deserves a little bit of love. Yesterday morning on one of my rosters, I was stuck trying to choose between Will Disley and Noah Fant. Adam Rank had loved Will Disley. Florio had loved Noah Fant. I picked Fant. I feel good about it. 5 for 96 yards. That was a good choice. But more than that, and you pointed this out, Mike, that Fant is actually playing more snaps. He's getting more of the looks in the passing game right now. We talk about how great Geno Smith has been, and now they're starting to diversify. It's not just a DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett passing game. More guys are getting involved, and Noah Fant starting to blossom. I mean, he's maybe not going to be the high-end guy that we thought he was coming out of college, but starting to be a little bit more consistent, and that's what we love. And anytime we get a tight end who looks consistent and is playing well, I'm happy for it. Although I feel like every time we get too excited about that guy, he also disappears.
Oh, yeah. And I do like the storyline you're setting up here, Marcus. Your two Madden movers are both tight ends who are going to be facing each other head-to-head in Germany next week. Only one can leave, though.
Oh, 2 minutes or one man leaves. You know what? This was an inadvertent promo for the NFL game in Munich coming up this week. So, yeah, check that out on NFL Network and NFL Plus, 9:30 a.m. Eastern, 6:30 a.m. Pacific. All right. You know, the story always goes, if you subscribe to one of these shows, then you get all of them in your podcast feed. So that means you can subscribe to this show on Mondays and Wednesdays. You can do the Q&A show on Tuesdays and Fridays. Or you can subscribe to the Stardom Sit 'Em show on Thursdays. You can also watch all of these shows 5 days a week in the NFL Fantasy app, the NFL Fast Channels, and at youtube.com/NFL Fantasy Football. That is it. We are done. We appreciate you hanging out with the NFL Fantasy Football Show. You know the drill. Tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, you know you're getting old when you're warned to slow down by your doctor, not by the cops. Be safe, take care of yourselves, and we'll talk to you on Wednesday. Wow.